thanks for doing your part to financially support your public radio station. Whenever I find myself in a new country, I have to make an internal shift. All my senses tune into the strangeness of the place around me, the language, the food, the customs, even the table manners. It's one of the delights of travel. It's a chance to try on a different culture. It's also one of travel's biggest challenges, dealing with the culture shock that comes with getting out of my comfort zone. France is both rewarding and challenging. It's notorious for both delighting and frustrating American travelers. And even if you're fluent in French, you still may miss a lot. That was the case for two guests I spoke with a while back, Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau. This husband and wife team hails from Montreal, where French is the first language. But when they moved to Paris, even they struggled to adapt to the culture and the language of France.
The first thing that travelers stumble on is their unawareness of the importance of saying bonjour. You have to say it all the time. Yeah. We say that if you say bonjour and you think you're saying it way too much, you're probably just getting it just right.
Well, when you take the bus, you have to say it. When you buy a newspaper at the newsstand or a magazine, it's very interesting.
Yeah, it's not really a word. It's a signal you send to tell them that you're ready to start communicating. And if you don't send a signal, they don't communicate.
It actually won't even take your money.
And if you're getting on a bus, it means you're entering somebody's territory.
Bonjour. I'm here.
You have to say bonjour if you expect civility and good treatment.
All right.
If you're in a store and you want something from, you want to be served, the person behind the counter will not do it until you say bonjour and you've begun the interaction.
In your book, you talk that there's an approach to small talk. For us, small talk is polite, but they kind of get right beyond small talk.
Quickly. And they will rapidly want you to produce something that will impress them.
And the point of conversation is never to express information. It's to converse and give out ideas and give your conversation partner something to respond to. And that can be an opinion or something provocative, like correcting somebody or contradicting somebody or stating something outrageous that they will respond to. The rules are completely different in French. We tell the story in the Bonjour Effect about this party we went to one evening. It was like kind of like a salon. We were invited to come and speak to people about French language in an intimate setting. And we sat there being polite and nodding all night. And then as the evening wore on and we didn't feel it was really getting off the ground, and then I remembered that the idea when you are invited to such a thing to converse with the French is you have to give them something to work with. You have to say something, even if it's a little bit over the top. So as they were chatting about things going on in Paris, and there was an Art Deco show, and so I sort of sat up and I said, you know, Art Deco has always seemed really fascist to me. I'm saying this at a polite dinner table. Yeah. And they were so happy.
Yes.
And one of the ladies winked at me.
He said, finally.
And the gentleman called me charmante. And off we went. And the conversation was going. I mean, you really have to be daring and say something outrageous sometimes.
You're both from Quebec. You speak French. Is it different, the approach to the language between a French Canadian and people in France?
The thing the French do, which is rattles me, even though I'm a French-speaking North American, is they correct all the time. It's very, very, this is another one of those codes that foreigners don't get. And the French are very comfortable correcting people. They grow up being corrected constantly in school. It's like acceptable public behavior
they
for
correct
a stranger
people
to correct
because we
French.
Always say compliment in public and correct in private or something like that.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Well, you've hit the nail on the head. It's an issue of what's private and what's public.
Yep.
And many things for the French that we assume are things that you only do in private, like argue with your spouse at a dinner table in front of everybody else. These things are not private things for the French. Correcting is not private.
You do see couples disagreeing publicly, which makes me kind of cringe, because couples in America can be at war, but when they're with their friends, it seems like everything's cool.
Exactly. This is a really big cultural difference. Also, there are topics that you can't talk about that would be easy conversation starters in North America, like what do you do for your living, or even what's your name? And those things for the French are strictly private.
And that opposition between private and public, what's allowed in private, what's allowed in public is interesting because, for example, the French will never talk openly with a stranger about their family, their job, money. Although when you know them, they talk about that all the time. Mm. But the thing is that if you start striking a conversation with people and it goes very well, if they start talking about their family, if they start talking about their job or money, they're actually sending you signal that you're building a relationship, that they want to go beyond let's be interesting.
That was Julie Barlow and Jean-Benoît Nadeau, authors of the book The Bonjour Effect, The Secret Codes of French Conversation Revealed. One of the things I really enjoyed about that conversation was that it took a stereotype and turned it on its head. The French aren't rude. They just have cultural norms that are different from ours. One thing I really love about travel is that it wallops my ethnocentricity. It rearranges my cultural furniture. It reminds me that different people have different baggage and find different truths to be what we might think of as self-evident and God-given. Good travelers become cultural chameleons. They get out of their comfort zone and try on new perspectives. And they take home the very best souvenir, a broader view of the world. Every time someone wishes me safe travels, I miss the bon voyage days, back before commercial networks turned news into entertainment, back when we weren't so fearful as a nation. There's a lot of fear in our society these days, and I find that the most fearful people are those who don't get out much. The flip side of fear is understanding, and we gain understanding when we travel. And we also gain understanding when we consume quality broadcasting, programming that you enjoy here on this station. I've found that you can be angry at the world or friends with the world. It depends on what you let shape your outlook and what you let wire your brain. Public radio, like travel, celebrates the diversity in our world. It gives us empathy for the other 96% of humanity. It makes us smarter and, I believe, better citizens. During this special fundraising edition of Travel with Rick Steves, we're asking you to help ensure that this station stays strong. With your gift, you can make a huge difference right now by helping ensure that this one-of-a-kind programming can keep coming to you and everyone in your community day in and day out. Frankly, right now, we need public radio more than ever. We need it because it provides the kind of reliable information that can nurture an informed citizenry. As a traveler and as a historian, I know how other societies have paid a dear price for a dumbed-down electorate. Smart media is important for our democracy. We're holding this membership campaign today because the station that brings you Travel with Rick Steves relies on the financial support of people like you to continue bringing you the quality and substance you expect every time you tune into this place on your dial. Please, give us a call right now. We're counting on you.